if you have a Bible and you want to open it to 1 Peter, and let's pray. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I worship you. I thank you that you are in the earth and that I can worship you and that you are God. I ask you to open up the ears of the hearer. I thank you that you've anointed me for this message, and grant that I speak it clearly, and let the ears of the hearer hear it, that they may know what the Spirit is saying to them right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, glory be to God. Well, last week I started a small series. We're gonna kind of try to keep it short. Say, keep it short.
Keep it short.
Why? Because people's attention span really isn't that long anymore, you understand? I remember when I was, you know, first coming up in the Word, yeah, I would listen to the Word hour after hour after hour after hour nonstop, and I had suitcases full of tapes. Why? Because I was hungry for the Word, and I was hungry for the anointing, and I knew what it did. It changed me, right? And people go, anyway, your message was more than 20 minutes. Like, you know, I don't, you know, no wonder you didn't get anything. You know? Sometimes you got to prove to God that you're going to be faithful and sit there and listen. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Jesus, I mean, he'd preach and they'd all day long, they'd have to serve a meal in between. Fish and crackers or whatever it was. Right?
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips. So anyway, I will attempt to keep this short. Last week, I began a message called Why We Worship the Holy Ghost, because it's a mark that we have on our group that most people don't do, and so it's one of those things that comes up. You understand? Well, why do you do that? It sounds strange. So these messages are why we worship the Holy Ghost. Not too long ago, so the Holy Ghost said to me, if they knew me as God, they would worship me. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
The problem is they don't know him as God, because if they knew him, the Holy Ghost, as God, they would worship him. Especially if they knew he was in the earth and he's the one doing everything, they would worship him. He's God. Well, anyway, so last week my first message was about him being God, proving from the scriptures and preaching that the Holy Ghost is God, and he's as much God as the Father or Jesus is. You understand?
Yes.
And therefore, he's deserving of our worship. If we were to stop there, that should be enough, because we've proved he's God. So if we worship the Holy Ghost, we are worshiping God. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Now, I am going to get into this later on in later messages. I won't touch on it too much here. But when you go, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, who would that have to be? The Holy Ghost. He's the one that's in you. I've touched on it a little bit last week. He's the one who comes into the temple of God, which is you. So sanctify the Lord God, the Holy Ghost, in your hearts. Right? And, say and. And be ready always, well, that's all the time, to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sounds pretty straightforward, right? Yeah, I have an answer. So you should have an answer for any man that asks you. Now, you can't give an answer to people that don't ask you, can you?
No.
But you could give an answer if they ask you.
Yes.
And this message is for those of you who worship the Holy Ghost, to give you an answer to those who may ask you why you worship the Holy Ghost. Well, number one, we've already crossed that bridge. He's God. The Bible specifically says to worship God. We found out that he is God, therefore we worship him. That should be the end of the matter. But there are other reasons. You understand? So for those of you who do worship the Holy Ghost, this will give you answers. For those who don't worship the Holy Ghost, and I feel sorry for you, this should give you a reason to start. If you'll listen, oh, I hope you heard that. If you'll listen, with the ears of your spirit, you will have a reason to start worshiping the Holy Ghost. Isn't this good? The last week we saw that the Holy Ghost is God, that he is a divine person that speaks. He says things, he speaks things, and he's a divine person. He's not just a whispery wind, he's not just some kind of force. He's an actual person with a personality that says things, right?
Yes.
And he's still speaking. Now, you could, I was going to bring it, you know, there's doctrine that people would say is what you have to believe if you're not a heretic. You understand this? The churches came up with this, and they went down through all the thing. We believe in the God the Father, the God the Son, and that he was raised from the dead, born of the Virgin, all of these things. They said that you must believe unless you're going to be a heretic. Well, guess what? I believe all of those things. And then the very last line of the first one of this, I should have brought it. Maybe I'll bring it next week. And it said, and the Holy Ghost. So they went through the whole doctrine of what they believe. We believe this, we believe this, we believe that, we believe this, we believe the scriptures, the inspired word of God, we believe, and the Holy Ghost. That's what they said. He was an afterthought then. He's an afterthought in most of the body of Christ now. That's why when I say I use the words, or you should use the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, it sounds strange and foreign to your ears, but it's in there. They spent at least 30 days to try to figure out what they were going to put there, and they ended up coming up with that the Holy Ghost is God as much as Jesus is God, as much as the Father is God, and should be worshiped. They said that is in your regular doctrine. If you don't believe that and preach it, you're a heretic. Well, that's what they're doing. They're not preaching it. They say, I'm a heretic because I worship the Holy Ghost. And I'm giving you scriptural reasons, line after line. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Trying not to get all worked up here. Calm down, brother. Anyway, so most have a doctrine. I can find it in their doctrine that the Holy Ghost is God. He's a person. Well, if he's God, why aren't you worshiping him? Because they haven't carried it through far enough to understand that. I was going to say, you know, that I guarantee that the people who came up with that doctrine, most of them probably didn't speak in tongues one lick ever, you know. And as you speak in tongues, he becomes more and more real to you as the one who does these things. Anyway, so using the words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, or worshiping the Holy Ghost is foreign in most circles. It should not be. If he is God, which I covered last week, we should worship him. Of course, that should settle it. It doesn't. Let's look at reason number two, why we worship the Holy Ghost. Now, I can't make anybody else worship God. The more the merrier. I wish they would, right?
Yes.
But you can't make them. Reason number two, why we worship the Holy Ghost, because he's the one that Jesus sent. Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is God, right? We have that settled. If you didn't get that settled, go back and listen to last week's message, right? Message number one in this series. He is God, and the Holy Ghost sent him into the earth to be with you. I mean, Jesus sent him, thank you. Jesus sent him into the earth to be with you. Sent who? The Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? Why do we worship him? Because Jesus, he's the one Jesus sent. Well, you don't want to believe what Jesus said? Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 3. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 3. Whoo! Hallelujah. Are you there? Let's look at verse 11. This is John the Baptist talking. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Are you here?
Yes.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's what John's mission was. His mission was to baptize people unto repentance. Why? So they'd be ready for Jesus. You understand? It prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Remember that?
Yes.
That's what John the Baptist's mission was. Did he do it? Yes. And then one day Jesus came along and he even baptized Jesus. We'll probably read that in a second. Isn't this good? So John fulfilled his purpose. His mission was to prepare the way for Jesus. Now look at this. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me. Now, is John the Baptist a prophet?
Yes.
Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets. You remember that?
Yes.
So what is he's saying here must be pretty accurate. He that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So John the Baptist said, this is my mission, this is what I'm here to do, is to get people ready for the one coming after by baptizing in repentance, which he fulfilled. Then he said Jesus's mission would be to baptize people in the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Are you here? Good. Well, let's just read on. So what was Jesus's mission? To baptize people in the Holy Ghost. That's why he came here. A lot of people won't understand that yet. I hope I'll be able to develop that a little bit, but that's why he came. It wasn't so you could die and go to heaven. It was so that your sins could be forgiven, you could be born again, you could be a brand new spirit, so the Holy Ghost could come on you and you could be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because he won't come on someone who hasn't been forgiven of sins. You understand? Cleaned up. He comes, he's the Holy Ghost. He's not the corrupt ghost. He has to go into a holy temple. Therefore, Jesus had to remove sin. So Jesus's whole mission was to get people so that they could be baptized in the Holy Ghost. All right, so indeed I baptize you. I'll read verse 11 again. Indeed I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, this is his mission, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Verse 13, then comes Jesus from Galilee into Jordan unto John to be baptized of him, and John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto them, suffer it now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, right,
yes,
went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So here we have a very good verse of scripture where we have Jesus. Mm-hmm. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
And who came down on Jesus?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost came out of heaven and landed on Jesus, right?
Yes.
Like a dove. It doesn't mean he was in the shape of a dove. He came down like a dove. Actually, the word, it just means common bird. He came down. He flew down. He didn't fall down. He came down. You get it? Holy Ghost. So we've got Jesus, we've got the Holy Ghost on him, and then a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then verse 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit. You understand? Jesus was not the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. So if Jesus the Lord was led by the Spirit must be God, and we can see that he's separate and individual from the Father. Are you here?
Yes.
I mean, that's a whole nother lesson. I'm just trying to bring that out real quickly here. All right. So his mission was to get people ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, he prepared people so they could receive what he did for them, and then the Holy Ghost could come on them. Let's go to John chapter 16. Let's see if Jesus actually did this. John chapter 16, and then let's look at verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember them that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. You see what's going on here? Jesus is about ready to go away, and he said, I didn't tell you these things at the beginning. Say, at the beginning.
At the beginning.
Right? So he's telling them not at the beginning, he's telling them at the end, before he goes away. He said these things not unto them at the beginning, because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asks me, whither goest thou? Verse 16. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7. Say verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Say expedient.
Expedient.
You know what that means? Yes. Profitable. It's profitable if Jesus goes away. Now, going away means to be somewhere, like he was with them, and then not being with them anymore. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That's going away. For Jesus to go away, he would have to not be with them anymore. But because verse 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it's profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Say, send him.
Send him.
So you have to, you don't send something to someone if you're there. You send them something from somewhere else. So here we see Jesus is saying, it's profitable if you, I go away and send something to you. Are you here? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's profitable, expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him. Say him.
Him
unto you. So this Comforter is going to be a person, a him. Right? So Jesus is going to go away to the Father, and he's going to send from the Father someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are you here?
Yes.
I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many yet things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, say he, he's gonna give him a name now. He, the Spirit of Truth. We know who that is, right?
Yeah.
He's the Holy Ghost. Why do we worship the Holy Ghost? Because he's the one that Jesus sent. He is God. We know that. And Jesus is about to send him. Where's he going to send him? To you. Are you getting this? He will guide you into all the truth. He shall not speak of himself. That's where those people get thrown off of that. It really means he won't speak anything but the truth. He won't speak off himself, right? Anyway, so is he a divine person?
Yes.
Is the Holy Ghost a divine person? Yes. Is he the one that Jesus sent?
Yes.
Yes. Reason number two why we worship the Holy Ghost is because he is the another, the one that Jesus sent. Glory be to God forever. Hallelujah. Go back to John 14. John 14, let's look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you. What now? If he's praying, if he's with the Father when he's going to do this, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. Say another. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So who's the another that Jesus sent? The Spirit of truth. Is he a he? Yes. And he's God. If he goes away, he'll send us. So did Jesus fulfill his purpose? Did he go away? Did he pay for the sins of the world? Right. And then he went away. And then did he send another? Yes. Who was the another? The Holy Ghost. So did Jesus do his part? Yes. In fact, in John 19:30, you don't have to turn there, it says it is finished. Jesus finished his part. You understand? Now let's go to Acts chapter 1. And we'll see Jesus raised from the dead. Glory be to God forever. Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from... Well, let's go back. Let me read right from verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. Say, until the day.
Until
the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. An interesting note here is, even when Jesus was raised from the dead, how did he give up commandments to the apostles? Via the Holy Ghost. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, that's Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Why? Because this was what Jesus came here to fulfill. Yes, to pay for your sins, but so that you could receive the promise of the Father. And he's still preaching it. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here's, picture this, here's Jesus raised from the dead, still preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that you're going to receive the Spirit of God. Was still his purpose. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, oh, Lord, well, when will thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're all worldly minded. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you, verse 8, shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come on you. Who? The Holy Ghost. So he wasn't on them yet, but he's going to come on you. Right? The Holy Ghost is come on you. You shall be witnesses to me both Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he, Jesus, was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Who was taken up? Jesus. Actual, physical, raised from the dead, Jesus was taken up into a cloud and out of their sight, meaning they couldn't see him anymore. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, very important, this same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And I always ask this question, has that happened yet?
No.
So where is Jesus now? Physical Jesus, he's still in heaven, because he had to go there and then send someone else. This was the end of Jesus's dispensation. Now he's sending someone else. Are you here?
Yes.
And he said to wait, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So let me ask you a question. When Jesus said, if I don't go away, I won't send another, but if I do go away, I'll send another, did he do that?
Yes.
Did he go away?
Yes.
Yes. Did he send in another?
Yes.
Yes. Who's his name? The Holy Ghost, right? And here we see it. The Holy Ghost came into the earth on the day of Pentecost when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They began, it didn't mean they stopped. They began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So it looks like Jesus did his part. He didn't lie. When he went to the Father to sit on the right hand of the Father, he sent someone. Who did he send? The Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost God?
Yes.
Why do we worship the Holy Ghost? Because he's the one Jesus sent. Jesus started this. You understand? Look down at verse 33, Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. That's a fulfillment. Peter was just telling people that this is what they saw and heard. This was the fulfillment of what Jesus said he was going to do. Mm-hmm. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Jesus did his part. He has not returned yet. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you would go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're almost done. I don't want to be too long-winded. My point's pretty simple. Why do we worship him? Well, number one, he's God. Number two, he's the one Jesus sent to be with us, said he would be with us forever. Right?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost, he's God. He was sent, meaning he's here. He's in the earth with us now. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at verse 2 for time's sake. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Like I said, who started this? Who said he was going to send another?
Jesus.
Who said Jesus did? Who said he's going to send someone that he would be with you forever? He will do this. He will do that. He will teach you all things. He is the Spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
He will speak all these things. Jesus said it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Say, our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, did I read that straight out of your Bible?
Yes.
Where does it say that Jesus is? It says, and is. What does is mean? Was?
Is now.
No, he is. He is. Say, he is.
He is.
And Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We know he sent the Holy Ghost. Where is he now? He is set down, and he will return. Remember, like the angel said, we all know that, and he hasn't done it yet. So where are we now? Where's Jesus now? Jesus is in heaven at the Father's right hand. Where's the Holy Ghost? Who's God? He's in the earth. He's the one Jesus sent. Worshiping him doesn't irritate Jesus. Worshiping him is a fulfillment of what Jesus expected you to do when he sends God into the earth.
That's right.
And yet people aren't doing it, and they wonder why things aren't working out. He's the Spirit of truth. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. All right. The Holy Ghost worship begins with Jesus leaving. We understand that because he had to send him. The another, the Holy Ghost is here. He is the one Jesus sent. I'm just trying to wrap this up. You understand? The Holy Ghost is the one Jesus sent, right? He is God. He's a divine person who speaks. Jesus sent him. He sent him in here. He speaks to us. He's a divine person. He is God. Which will lead us up to our third reason, which I will get on hopefully next week, Lord willing, why we worship the Holy Ghost. Because it's his dispensation. He is in the earth. He's God in the earth today. He's the one leading and guiding, directing the church. It's his dispensation. In fact, he's the only part of the Godhead who's in the earth today. You can even see that by some of the scriptures I've already read. Who's in the earth? The Holy Ghost. How'd he get here? Jesus sent him, right?
Yes.
Do we have scriptural reasons why we worship the Holy Ghost? Yes, we do. Number one, he's God. He's a divine person that speaks. Number two, he's the one. Say the one. Jesus didn't send four. He sent one divine person, the Holy Ghost, in the earth. Anyway, he is God. He's the one Jesus sent. And he did come, and he is with us right now. Say this, Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
I worship you.
I thank you
that you are God, and that you are
with me
right now,
teaching me,
helping me,
empowering me.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
God in the earth today. Holy Ghost, your God.